Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on this Wednesday, August 21st, 2024. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Wesley Wildman.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
I just want to let you guys know, I know there's a lot going on, but we're 5 days away from my birthday. So I'm just throwing it out there.
I believe August you told 26th. Us this the other day, too.
What's that?
I believe you told us this the other day, too.
Yeah, but nothing's happening. Nothing's changing.
So are we going to get a three-day countdown, too?
If you need one.
But subtly, he's asking for things like gifts.
Subtly?
Gift cards, cash.
If you think that's subtle,
crypto.
I need to get a little more.
I gave you crypto. You'd be good with that?
No. Gift cards. Rolls of quarters.
You want the old-fashioned, cold hard cash or gift cards. Okay. Thanks for joining us today. At Westie, do you want to tell folks how they can engage on the internet?
Yeah, you can go to afr.net. You can go to, or you can download a podcast with any smartphone, that is. Or you can go to our Facebook page or social media pages and go to, or type in Today's Issues Live. We also have our own streaming platform. So stream.afa.net, stream.afa.net, and there you can watch our live stream. Now, there's not much to look at, but we have it.
Not much to look at?
Yeah, us.
Are you talking about us, our physical?
All of
yes. I thought you were talking about our streaming platform.
No.
By the way, I was.
Good catch, and thanks for clarification,
because
that is not what I meant.
I was listening yesterday,
yeah.
And, you know, Tim tossed that question to you, yeah. And seemed like
he was
wanting you to fail.
Absolutely.
But you did very well.
Thank you. Appreciate
hey, before
that.
We get started with the news, I want you to tell our folks about Activate.
Oh, sure.
Can you do that kind of, you know, in a brief fashion? But we're very excited about Activate, and we don't probably talk about it enough. But before we get to the stuff that's going on, and there's a lot going on.
Sure.
Just very excited about what we released in June.
That's right. Now, we spent – we'll come back to it and we'll talk about it more later. It's coming up. You can expect it to be in our magazine, our Stand magazine, coming up here if you get our Stand magazine. So Activate is our biblical worldview training curriculum that we produced and we launched July the 1st. We're now coming up on almost 2 months of it being released, and is an 18 – DVD series, and it covers, in the 18 DVD series is broken up into 5 units, and the 5 units are the Bible being our final authority, sanctity of human life, marriage and family, religious liberty and stewardship. And so we take these 5 topics and we discuss them from a biblical, an apologetic and historical perspective. We have professors from on campus, and we have some that are friends of ours from other ministries who have participated in providing the content. And we have a workbook that goes along with it that you follow along with the course. And what really separates this apart from any other biblical worldview training is that we provide several challenges that gives you the opportunity to live out what you learn and what the things that we know in your everyday, ordinary life. And so the transition from what we learn about how can we defend the life issue, how can we support the marriage issue, how can we live out our religious liberties? Those things and the challenges in the workbook and online help us take that and live it out. And that's what makes it unique to any other worldview training. So we're really excited about it. It's out there now. You can go to activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net, and it's AFA produced it.
Yes.
So if you can think back to all the other things we've produced with In His Image, with you got In His Image,
God Who Speaks,
God Who Speaks, or in any other thing that we work on,
Cultural institutes, magazines.
We work hard on this, and the content's great. And that those same people that worked hard on that, that did such a good job, are the same people that worked on this project.
And this was in response to people when you would go out, when we would have events.
That's right.
People would say, We want more training.
Yeah,
we want more training. So that, I'm very excited about this, and folks, check it out. What's the website again?
That's activate.afa.net. That's AFA's training curriculum on a biblical worldview.
Amen.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's our first story, Fred?
We have breaking news, and it's all bad news for Bidenomics at this hour. First story out of Washington, D.C., the Bureau of Labor Statistics is revising down its total tally of jobs created in the last year. Are you ready for this? By 818,000. In other words, contrary to what's been reported by the federal government up to now this year, it's now revising down those figures. 818,000 fewer jobs created in the last year. Now, you know right now, whether it's Biden or whether it's Vice President Harris out there, they're all talking about what great things the Biden administration has done and the millions of jobs that they have created. Well, first of all, they go back to post-COVID. They didn't create jobs. People just went back to work after being shut down. But now this figure that came out this morning, 818,000 fewer jobs than originally reported by the federal government. Story number two, this is breaking out of Dearborn, Michigan. Ford CEO announcing this morning they are totally canceling plans for an electric three-row SUV. They're getting rid of it. Originally, they announced they were delaying it. They announced this morning because the demand is just not there for electric vehicles, that they are canceling plans for this all-electric SUVs. They're going back to the drawing board, and they're saying we need to create hybrids. In other words, vehicles that operate electrically and on gas. Now, when you stop and think for a moment what this means for Vice President Harris and her energy policies, because under her electric vehicle mandate, she wants 67% of all new vehicles sold in the U.S. will be fully electric by 2032. That's not that far away anymore, folks.
Right.
But the people who actually are on the ground building or trying to build these things says people don't want it. So 818,000 fewer jobs created than initially reported, and now Ford becoming the latest. Remember Hertz announced it was selling off all of its electric vehicles?
Because when they rented cars, people didn't want electric.
Nobody wanted it. You add that to the plan or the announced plan of spending billions of dollars of recharging stations, and it was reported again this week, they've only built eight, the federal government.
With billions of dollars.
With billions of dollars.
By the way, this job report, this is today, released
today. This just
today,
came out in the last hour.
That data marks, this is from CNN, the largest downward revision since 2009.
Yes.
So they, you know, the Biden administration was hoping, and now that includes Kamala Harris, who is the vice president, current vice president, but running as the Democratic flag bearer for the November election. She's stuck with these results as well.
Yes. They have built, through their political bravado, this idea that everything is cooking really well.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm just wondering how much of that is going to – there is a point in which everybody knows that's just not true. You know what I mean? Mm. And I'm wondering if that's going to be the case. Another example would be, we've talked about crime. Okay, they say crime's down, but everybody you talk to says crime's up.
Right.
But the media reports the other way. And they're saying that the border's under control, but we all know it's not.
Right.
So it's just how much can they? Is it more embarrassing to say that it's not a problem, or is it better to say that it is a problem and we're going to try to fix it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this comes down to, it's pretty simple. The vast majority of the news media and the they're liberal. They're very liberal in their bent, the vast majority. And so they favor the Democrats in the in politics, especially the national politics. And they want Kamala.
Ignore things, too. In
they want Kamala Harris to win. So with that agenda, although they may try to hide behind journalism and act like, you know, they're doing an honest broker, being an honest broker, they are going to limit damage. They're going to do damage control for her, and they're going to try to make the issues people vote on reflect positively on her.
Yeah.
And on the Democrats. Is that?
Yes, absolutely. And the proof of that, as if we needed any more proof that the mainstream media is in bed with the Democratic Party. The only proof we really need is the way they treated Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. Before that first debate, they had willful blinders on. They were defending him as being sharp as a tack. I have, you know, Rachel Maddow. I've never seen him any sharper. He's doing great. After that debate.
No hesitations.
Yes. After that debate, when it was obvious to the entire world, if there are people living on Mars, it was obvious to them, too, that Joe Biden not only had lost his fastball, he couldn't find home plate. He wasn't even in the stadium.
Good analogy, by
yes.
the way.
He wasn't even in the stadium?
Wasn't even in the stadium.
The parking attendant.
The next day, well, that night.
Yeah.
The parking attendant. That night, the media turned on him.
Yep.
Okay? Because they want the Democrats to win.
Yes.
And that, to me, was as much proof as you needed that the media is an arm of the Democratic Party, obviously with some exceptions, but the mainstream media all in bed with the Democratic Party, and that was proof that they turned within hours of the debate.
Yep.
Well, so, I mean, this is almost, you just got to factor this in every presidential election cycle. But I remember even going back to the 90s. The surveys showed the White House press corps. They were surveyed. The White House press corps at the time during the Clinton years, they said 90% of them admitted they voted for Clinton.
Yes, vote Democrat.
So it's overwhelmingly liberal. So you have to consider that when you consider what stories they choose to promote or downplay.
Well, and as Fred has always talked about, it'd be one thing if they voted Democrat but held themselves to journalistic standards, Fred, that said, it doesn't matter what I think personally. Mm-hmm. I have a job to do, and that is to cover the news in an even-handed way. That'd be different. But somewhere in the 90s, they said, you know what? We're going to become part of the machinery of change. Yes.
Right.
And that's the way we're treating journalism.
So to your point, and then I've got a point.
My point or Ed's point?
To Ed's point, and then I've got a point. So what you're saying is it would have been – you would have more respect if they, even if they voted 90% one way, if they had a story that showed this person's position here honestly and this person's position here honestly. Okay.
Absolutely. If they held to the old way of doing journalism is, my opinion doesn't matter. I got to report the facts.
Okay.
And if the facts shed a negative light on the party I normally vote for, so be it. Okay. Facts are facts.
Also, I don't have a problem with somebody being a hybrid. In other words, being a news person and an editorialist. But just say you are.
Yes.
Okay. Bill O'Reilly, he was both. Sean Hannity's both. I guess Rachel Maddow is both on MSNBC.
Right.
But it's the people who act like they're supposed to be respected as objective, always taking the side of the Democrats on issues, and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then that becomes a problem.
One other point that I was going to make is that while we all have different layers of criticizing, let me speak for myself, that I think the Republicans can do certain things strategically better to win at times. I believe that. Also have to factor in, and we always, almost all of us always forget that we're constantly playing with one hand behind our back. I mean, it's completely unfair.
Conservatives.
Conservatives are playing with one hand behind their back because of the media. Because they're not questioning all the things that we know are failing in the country. I mean, they're allowing him, they're allowing Joe Biden to say that President Trump would have a abortion ban of the country, and they're not fact-checking it. They never fact-checked that. When he's when he's specifically
they just
said,
say it.
They say it. They said, no, they said he said it, and he actually said the opposite.
Are you talking about that they will, the liberal media will say?
Joe Biden said at the DNC that, that just last night or the night before, Joe Biden
said. I got you, which is a blatant lie.
CNN,
and he should be called, Biden should be called out on it.
By CNN or NBC. They
even if you're, quote, pro-choice, you should call him out on just saying something like that.
In the name of the facts. Just facts. They should say, well, actually, Trump said that he would not do a national abortion ban.
He said that during the the Republican convention.
And just last night or the night before at the DNC, Biden said that that Trump did say that he would do it.
Yeah, in fact,
that's what I'm saying. Like that.
Right.
That's one hand behind your back.
That's a Burger King.
That's the one hand behind your back because, I mean, that's the,
have it your way?
No.
Yeah.
Well, a Whopper.
To your point, also in Biden's speech on Monday night, he repeated Charlottesville.
All over again.
Come on, man. How long are we going to do that? Charlottesville, I bet he said veins popping out.
Yes, he did say that.
I didn't even see it, but I know what he says because I've heard him say it a thousand times.
Yeah. Carrying swastikas, their veins bulging.
And then he says, and Trump said they're good Nazis.
Well, he said there's good people
on both sides. He says, and then
he said that.
And then Biden will probably say, there are no good Nazis. There are no good Nazis.
Yeah, that part I didn't listen long.
Well, that's just he's
sickening.
He's had that stick for.
So I got us started here, but the point that I'm making is that you're one hand behind your back with the media.
Right.
So however this I still think the Republicans and the conservatives could do better things to win.
Right.
But you're still not fair.
I do think that there are a lot of alternative conservative media outlets now that used to be not available. So that is good.
That's helping.
Yes.
That is helping a lot.
Elon Musk buying Twitter.
That helped.
That helped a lot.
Yes.
You're listening to today's issues on AFR.
We're
pretty wound up over here, Fred. You want to?
Well, and just test yourself, folks, when it comes to the mainstream media. How are they going to cover this report of 818,000 fewer jobs than originally reported? Let's see how they do. Let's see how they do with the Ford announcement this morning of canceling plans to build this all-electric SUV. Let's see how they report.
By the way, let me just say this about that, about Kamala Harris's demand that by 2032, what was the percentage that
67%
of all brand new cars need to be electric. Okay. This is what we were talking about earlier in the week when we were talking about on Monday about her economic plan of price controls. Mm-hmm. And we all said, listen, that top-down approach is not going to work because you are forced to ignore economic realities. Mm-hmm. Here's the economic reality, okay? Maybe people will someday all buy brand new electric vehicles. They're only going to do it when they trust it, when they trust the technology, when the infrastructure's there, where you don't have to go out of your way to find a charging station, when you can charge your vehicle in under 5 minutes, and when you can go 500 miles or 400 miles. When I fill my vehicle up, I can go drive, do the little thing on the dashboard, 450 miles on a tank of gas. When you can do that with an electric vehicle, when it's not incredibly expensive to buy one in the first place, when it's not incredibly expensive to replace the battery, all those things, people will probably buy electric vehicles when all those issues are solved.
Yes.
But if you do a top-down approach and demand that this is the way it's going to be, you're going to throw the economy into chaos.
Yes.
Because people don't want that. They're not going to spend the money on that. But what are you going to force them to do?
Yes.
Okay, and this is that top-down approach. It's communistic and destructive to a free market and winds up overturning the tables.
And please tell me, Vice President Harris, where is the electricity going to come from at those recharging stations?
Right.
Where's it going to come from?
Yeah.
You're going to build a million windmills?
Yeah.
What it was, did y'all see the video where there was a car, it was an electric car, and on the back they DIY'd a platform in order to put a generator in order to charge the car when it ran out of battery.
Yes.
But they had to have gas to go in the generator to charge the car.
Everybody knows this is crazy. It's crazy.
Yes, it is.
Well, maybe I don't buy the premise of the whole environmental.
Well, that's yes. Huh? Right. That gets lost in this, but that is.
Yeah, but the practicalities of even doing, implementing what Harris is saying by 2032, having everybody drive electric cars. Is that what she's saying?
Yeah. Well, 67%.
She's
of all new cars.
She's insane.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
if that's her, but she's not technically insane. She knows what she's doing. She's promoting an agenda.
She just
a
is
control
not
agenda.
Very smart.
Yeah, she's promoting a control agenda, but you know how I mean the word insane.
Right.
Here.
Yes.
However, I will say this. Okay, this is me talking. Okay, and I studied this stuff. Okay, so
I know you're an expert on this.
I'm a PhD Help something us. Or another on this kind of stuff, on this global warming stuff.
PhD something or other.
I don't believe in. Man, I could be proven wrong.
Yeah.
25, 30 years from now, I don't believe in man-made global warming. If there is global warming, it ain't man-made. Okay? There may be global warming, but it ain't caused, excuse me, am I using bad English? Because you guys.
Are you just doing it for emphasis?
I'm doing it from the heart.
Yeah.
Okay?
It gives you room to use what
Yes. From the heart.
I'm good with it.
Okay. Anyway, if there's global warming somewhere, by the way, every time you read about a story about global warming, another part of the world, you look at the map and go, they're having global freezing.
Yes.
So I remember they were pushing the global warming story a couple of years ago. They were going, man, it's really, really heating up in the Northeast. They're on fire. This is global warming. And then the next story was how San Diego was 10 degrees cooler than it's ever been.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You can always site somewhere in the world where
it's hot that day.
Yes. And another thing I'll tell you about this, the scare tactics. Remember Al Gore, and I don't want to misquote him. It was Al Gore and John Kerry and some others. Remember these
the titans of
yes.
global
well,
warming.
Well, and Greta, whatever her name was. But I do know Al Gore said this.
Was it Thunberg?
He said about 15 years ago, 10 years ago, that within 5 years, that Arctic.
I think that was in the year 2000.
The Arctic was going to melt. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it never happened.
Talk about an inconvenient truth.
Yeah, and he never came back to say, my bad.
Right.
My bad. I was wrong on that one. So man-made global warming, the globe, the planet is too big and too powerful, I don't know what word I'm looking for exactly here, to have
be manipulated,
be affected by SUVs in America. And by the way, isn't it pretty much always us?
Yes, we're at fault.
We're at fault.
It's not China.
The global warming alarmists, they don't say, you know what, India, you better get your act together.
Right.
Huh? No.
Listen, I think we've said many times, and we're not the only ones who have said this, when talking about like even a policy like we're discussing with Kamala Harris. By 2032, 67% of all new vehicles need to be electric. It really is all about control.
Yeah.
This down, top-down
approach.
That's
what Marxism is.
Yes. And we've heard stories in London of this, what do they call this with the, you can only go so far today.
Yeah.
This far away from
your home.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I forget there's a name for this. That's what they really want to do. So when we don't meet the goal of 67% of all brand new cars being electric, I'm speeding things up here, okay? And people say, well, what are we supposed to do? They're going to say, stay home.
That's right.
Save the planet.
Yes.
You don't have an electric vehicle, you stay home.
Yes, and walk to your government-controlled grocery store.
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys are scaring me.
We're not kidding, folks.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on this Wednesday, August 21st. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and Fred, and we, as always, we thank you very much for listening to AFR. Was there something you wanted to bring up, you said, before we get back to the topics, issues? Somebody said something they wanted to mention.
No, I was going to mention something when we got Alex on. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, that's what you, yeah. Alex, when will Alex be on? Okay. Yeah. He's ready. I ask our producer, when will Alex be on? Alex is on with us now. Dr. Alex McFarland. Farland, heard on Exploring the Word, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central Time here on AFR with Brother Bert Harper as they do a live, most of the time it's live, and they do an on-air Bible study. They talk to you and comment, talk about and comment and read from the Word of God. And they do that, so they go through the Bible. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Alex, why is the Bible, I call it the Word of God. What do I mean by that for the maybe people who aren't Christians or are new Christians?
Well, the Bible actually is given from Almighty God. In fact, the technical term is God-breathed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21, it says that the Bible did not come about by the will of man, but holy men of God wrote what was given to them by God. And so the Bible is not just an inspiring book or a motivational book. No, it is the very, very Word of God. And as such, it is authoritative in all that it says.
Even all those crazy stories in the Old Testament?
It's true. You know, what's interesting is archaeology, time and again, archaeology has proven what largely the Old and oftentimes the New Testament has said too. You know, cities and battles and things that skeptics at one time questioned have been verified and proven by archaeological discoveries over the last 150, 200 years. And
All right, lest anybody email me or comment or...
Oh, they will.
They're saying no more support for you because you call the Bible crazy.
Right.
I'm
saying what people... Critics and right. People who don't believe say about the Bible, that's what
And in fact, you're saying those stories are true. Because
yes. What Alex absolutely. I believe 100% mm-hmm. the Bible's accurate. Right. Historically.
Amen.
Spiritually and... Yeah, in every way. So, yeah.
You know what's exciting is archaeology is relatively a young science, really only from about 175 to 200 years ago. And for instance, okay, the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And at one time, skeptics used to say, well, writing didn't even exist at the time of Moses. Well, archaeologists eventually discovered in Ur a library of manuscripts that were hundreds of years older than Moses. And not to get in the weeds, but the point is, time and time again, archaeological discoveries have proven what the Bible says. King David, Solomon, the conquests of Israel. And so when we read the Bible, it's an absolutely true history of the ancient world. I mean, think about it. One of my favorite historians was Will Durant, and he spent 50 years working on what was called the History of Civilization, and it was later called one of the most important works of history in history. And my mentor in grad school, a guy named Norm Geisler, was friends with Will Durant, and Durant eventually became a Christian because he was so compelled. He said that the Bible, one of the greatest historians in American history, and really one of the top-tier historians of the last 1,000 years, and Will Durant said that the biblical history is our most important source of truth about the ancient world.
I didn't know that Will Durant had become a Christian.
That's what Dr. Geisler told me, yes.
Oh, wow. That's...
And they knew each other.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question I wanted to ask you, Alex, and you. We didn't give you a heads up on this, but you probably have read that Dr. George Barna, who I know you're very familiar with, recently released results, and he asserted that the nation's cultural decline is rooted in the spiritual collapse of Christianity. His surveys revealed that the percentage of Americans who are true evangelicals is only about 10%. It has been reported for decades that it was closer 25 to 40% of American adults are evangelicals. But when he digs down and questions and puts their beliefs, actual beliefs, to the test, only 10% have truly biblical beliefs that would actually identify them as true evangelicals. Did you read this story over the last week or so?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I think we need to be much more intentional about teaching the Bible, you know. I think that, and let me be clear, salvation is a free gift. Put your faith in Jesus, and he died on the cross, he rose again. Turn to Christ, ask him to save your soul, put your faith in Jesus, and he will save you. But I want to say this. We're not just called to repeat a paragraph of words. The salvation message, you know, we really need to be clear with people. We are to become disciples. And a disciple is really, the classic definition is, a consistent, learning, obedient follower. And to, you know, Barna's research about how kind of the American church is like a mile wide and an inch deep, I think we ministers, we're not doing our full job unless we tell the people the decision they're making. Let me give an illustration, and I might have shared this, but when I was in college, I sold cars at the local Dodge Chrysler dealership. I was really into cars, and I remember they were doing sales training, and they said, look, you know, make sure the customer understands the decision they're making. And I remember, this is 35 years ago, I asked the guy, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, you can do a test drive, fill out the application, hand them the payment book, and 2 days later they'll call and they'll say, wait, you mean I'm committed? I have to make these payments now for 36 months? He said, make sure the customer understands, you know, they're buying a car. I was thinking about this in terms of evangelism. Yeah, God loves you, Christ died for you, believe in Jesus. Right. But I think we need to make people understand the import of the decision they're making. If you're going to receive the gift of salvation, then that comes with the responsibility to be a disciple and to amend your life, your beliefs, your priorities, your behavior in light of God's word.
Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen.
And then you will be able to test at that point what is test and approve what is God's will.
Yeah.
Alex, Fred here. I haven't read the latest report from Barna, but it's very consistent. He does great research.
Yes.
And he has criteria for what a true evangelical is. It's several of those, and he's been very consistent with those reports over the years. Thinking about that, when you hear there's a group starting called Evangelicals for Harris, does that question the definition of evangelicals?
Yeah, at least. I mean, the egregiously misnamed Evangelicals for Harris. For one thing, we need to really be specific on what we mean by an evangelical Christian. But I want to say in the strongest possible terms that that is deceptive. And Franklin Graham came out last week. I don't know if they filed a cease and desist or something, but they were using some Billy Graham footage that was very, very, very misleading. And let me say this. No true Bible-believing Christian, I'm only speaking for myself here. I'm speaking as an individual here, not for any organization. But no born-again Christian, if you even have a thimbleful of biblical literacy, you could not be for the worldview of Kamala Harris, which I heard this morning their mobile abortion unit has performed, you know, half a dozen or more abortions while the Democrat convention is going on. And my goodness, they deny Jesus. They deny the sanctity of life. They
Boo
deny
God.
Human physiology and gender. So it's a marketing ploy, Fred. And I would say to everyone that there's no way that a true born-again believer that affirms the Bible, and as Christians we are to do that, that you could possibly endorse the anti-God, militantly secular death cult that is the Democrat Party right now.
All right. Well, what do you got? What are you and Bert going to talk about this afternoon?
Well, we are in Nehemiah. We wrapped up Nehemiah 11 yesterday. There are 13 chapters. And I want to say this. We're going to wrap up Nehemiah by the end of day tomorrow, and then Friday is our show, Fire Away Friday, one of our most popular shows. And then Monday we start, and we haven't done this in about 8 years, we start the book of Romans, which has been called the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the Christian Faith. So Monday, folks, we'll start Romans chapter 1 and teach through it verse by verse, as we've been privileged to do for, can you believe 15 years now?
Wow.
The word.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Glad I had that idea.
Yeah, well, you did. It was Tim Wildman's idea.
I don't. I'm not trying to draw attention to my, or, you know, even take credit.
Right. Right. You're just stating facts.
Just stating facts.
Yes.
As a good journalist does.
As a good journalist.
Except for you're not a journalist right now.
But, no. Hey, don't.
Listen to this. We're at our final summer youth camp. I'm in the mountains of New Jersey. And yes, there are mountains in New Jersey, believe it or not. And, man, it was cold last night, but we've got over 125 kids here. A young man came up to me, and his name is Jacob. I'm going to say he's about 15, and he was so excited. He's from Newark, New Jersey. He says, I listen to Exploring the Word every day.
Wow.
I'm like, really? Two old guys reading and teaching the Bible. Teenagers, believe it or not, we've got teenagers all over America that listen very regularly to Exploring the Word. And I guess I would just say to everybody, be encouraged. I know we've got a lot to do. We've got some headwinds, let's say. But people of all ages, and especially young people, they really do care about the Lord, they care about the Bible, and they care about the future of this country. And so, Tim, you had a great idea. Credit where it's due. Exploring the Word came about because of your vision, brother.
Amen. Well, thank you. It was the Lord's idea. I mean, as the Lord.
You're walking it back now, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Does it sound phony?
No. And listen, I do want to say that if you do get around next year, Alex, to having one of these camps in the Boston area, I do want to take credit for the fact that that was my idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've had over 150 teens pray to accept Christ this summer.
Amen. And the others who attended, they're strengthened in their Christian worldview.
Yeah, is that your last one for the summer?
Yeah, this is the last one, yeah.
Okay.
For this summer.
Yeah.
New Jersey is actually a pretty state. Everyone thinks in terms of New York, too. People think only in terms of the big cities, and those can be pretty grim.
But it's the Garden State.
Yeah, it's a very pretty state.
All right, thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Blessings to all. See you.
That's Dr. Alex McFarland joining us. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, we were talking about the speeches last night, which I did not watch at the Democrat National Convention. And Fox News has a story here I wanted to talk about for just a minute. Michelle Obama was one of the speakers last night, the former first lady. And as part of her speech, she talked about, I guess, some class warfare. And she said that growing up in Chicago, I think she grew up in Chicago. Let's see. No. Well, anyway, she said that her parents were, quote, suspicious of folks who took more than they needed, end of quote. Now, she's trying to, the Democrat Party, they use this ploy a lot, and it works sometimes, try to pit people against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Class warfare.
Yep.
Envy. promoting the idea that because some people have more money than you, that's injustice, you know. So that's the if I got that stereotype.
I couldn't have said that any better.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing to add there. Keep going.
So
we're listening.
So she's saying, here's the irony that she says her parents were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed. What she's basically saying is, I come from, you know, a poor background, my family, and then the story goes on to point out that since she and her husband, Barack Obama, the former president, have left office, they have accumulated a net worth of $70 million.
Hmm. It's not all that hard. Tim, I'm probably worth twice that.
But have you left
to my kids?
You haven't left office.
I mean, to my kids.
To your kids.
And discipleship value.
And that's right,
baby.
I want to talk about money. I'm sorry, I wasn't talking about money. Go ahead.
That's right.
Okay.
They have a net worth of $70 million, actual dollars.
They own the Obamas own four luxurious properties: a Washington D.C., Martha's Vineyard, a beachfront home in Hawaii, and a Chicago home.
The Chicago home is actually the cheapest of those four. It's about $2 million. The D.C. Right. home is $8 million. The Martha's Vineyard is $12 million. And the beachfront home in Hawaii is almost $9 million.
Yeah.
So why does anybody need four houses?
Well, there you go, Fred. You're doing class envy right there. you're judging whether people need four houses or not.
Gee.
Well, he's just thinking about the carbon footprint.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm kidding with you. But let me just say this. The idea, listen, I don't care how much money you make when you leave the White House. All presidents do it. They capitalize, and I mean that word literally, on their popularity and their notoriety.
Yes.
And their being a former president, even if you're a former president, does bring exorbitant to most people speaking fees and
sometimes $500,000
endorsement fees, consulting. Yeah. You sit on boards of companies you don't even know what they are.
Right.
Okay. So there's a lot
they
of money.
They want your name and the influence of that name as being a part of that board.
Yeah. And Obama, even though I disagree with his policies, He was a pretty popular guy.
Oh yeah.
When he left, especially when he left office, and his brand is pretty popular among the liberal elites. You know. So he cashed in. So I don't have a, you know, that's America. As long as you're not doing influence peddling, which right. I don't know how, sometimes that's hard to prove. By that I mean being paid off.
Yeah.
To do something to influence a decision that should be made politically
in the best interest of the people.
Yes, in the best interest of the people. But here's the problem: yeah. is that when she promotes she says things she promotes sort of class envy, while she is the one who is super wealthy.
Right.
Okay, and she says,
read it again what you
well, I'm going to read what she said in her speech. She said this, that growing up, her parents were, quote, were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed, end of quote. Now, what does that mean? I don't know if there's any other context to that. Folks who took more than they needed. Well, does she have the $70 million more than she needs to live? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Go ahead.
This is rank hypocrisy. You know, you're being honest. You're saying, listen, if somebody can cash in on their fame and notoriety, go for it. Nothing wrong right. with that.
Inherently.
And yet nothing inherently wrong with that. And the rank hypocrisy is what she's implying is that people who are wealthy are greedy.
Oh, but she is one. She is a wealthy, super wealthy.
She is super wealthy, but the people she's criticizing are not her, not herself or her husband, or their wealthy friends.
Right, right.
These people Martha's they party Vineyard? With, and they go to Hollywood gatherings. These are all wealthy people, and here's the sticking point. Their enemy are capitalists.
Yes.
Because these people are useful idiots for cultural Marxists and actual Marxists.
Mm-hmm.
Their enemy is capitalism.
Yes.
This is right out of Animal Farm with George Orwell, where after the revolution, the pigs in the story, who I think represented Lenin and Trotsky, they start dressing in the farmer's clothes and start sleeping in the farmer's bed and enjoying the tea and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. These people have socialist / Marxist views. And so the people they're pointing at, like Elizabeth Warren,
mm-hmm.
she's going to point at big corporations. And I have problems with a lot of things big corporations do. She's saying they need to be broken up and they need to be this and that. Meanwhile, she's becoming, I'm sure, very wealthy.
Yes.
So to me, that's the answer. The answer is they're socialists / Marxists who consider capitalism to be the enemy while they're making all their money via capitalist endeavors.
Listen, yes. Michelle Obama and her and Barack Obama almost, I mean, they hang out with the super rich.
Yeah, the George Clooney's. And
oh, yes. They're shown vacationing on super yachts in the Mediterranean
mm-hmm.
every summer.
Oh, sure.
You know, with George Clooney and
mm-hmm.
all the Hollywood stars and big media moguls and things like that. So just say her speech would have been better leaving that out and just say, "Hey, I made it in America."
Yeah,
Barack and I can too.
Yeah, Barack and I got four homes. How you like them apples? Just say something like that.
Yeah,
not you know my not say something like. Her parents were suspicious of folks who took more than they needed.
Well, Wesley, one of the things she said was those values that have been passed on, she's talking about from her parents, but she's talking more broadly speaking, have been passed on through family farms and factory towns, through tree-lined streets and crowded tenements, through prayer groups and National Guard units and social studies classroom. Those were the values my mother poured into me until her very last breath. She's in essence saying those people who are poor and who are struggling are the morally superior people, whereas all the wealthy capitalists are the people who oppress them, all while she's part of the capitalist class.
Yeah, it's no different than when they say on other, an example is this, on other issues would be when they're against gun control while they have guns that protect them, or when they're against the closing the border while they themselves have borders. Borders meaning they have fences, they have walls
yes.
around their houses in gated communities. This goes on to, didn't we talk about in our story meeting this morning about the DNC, how they had so many layers of protection yes. to get in?
Yeah, the protection, the walls
in Chicago for the convention.
The walls around that convention center far exceed the walls that we have protecting our country on the southern border.
They're three layers deep
yes.
around the convention.
Yes, around the convention center.
But borders are, wait a minute, walls don't work.
It's true. And huh? they're immoral, Tim.
And they're immoral, and nobody's illegal.
That's right.
Everybody should be able to come and go as they please.
Yes.
Yeah, this discriminating against people.
Even on private property. Oh, wait, no, it's not private.
He's discriminating against people who want to come to the
convention.
And just because they don't belong to
the... They check IDs at the door?
They check IDs at the door?
Several times.
How will minority people get IDs to be able to get in?
Yes.
What we're talking about is that DNC, they had several layers of security. They had several layers of protection for people coming in and out, but they don't. But the DNC does not support it at the border.
Right. Yep. They, in fact, they make the arguments opposing it for what we just sort of mocked right there. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.